You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast presented by Land Rover. I'm Robbie Musto and my mate is Robbie Earle, and we love getting together to sit down and talk about the weekend in the Barclays Premier League. And this weekend may have just been the best weekend we've seen so far. Amazing results, amazing stories, amazing performances and some awful ones. But let's start, Robbie Earle, with the last game of the weekend. Arsenal 0, Chelsea 1. Big result for Chelsea, disappointment for Arsenal. First of all, Robbie Earle, do you have any problem with the referee's decision to send off Per Mertesacker?
No, I have absolutely no problem, Robbie Musto. I thought it was actually a bad 5 minutes for Arsenal and for Arsene Wenger. First thing that goes wrong, Per Mertesacker is too high up the football pitch, Robbie Musto, when Chelsea picked possession up of the ball. If there's going to be a race on a football field, you do not want Per Mertesacker in a race. He's probably the slowest recovering defender in the league. Diego Costa takes a good touch across him. There's enough of a challenge that goes in. Whether people are saying how much contact was made, he certainly put Costa off. Costa's in for goal scoring opportunity. Red card. First bad mistake for Arsenal. Second bad mistake for Arsenal. And one I couldn't believe what I was seeing as it happened. Olivier Giroud comes off the pitch to let Gabriel on. Now, I know that people have their criticisms of Olivier Giroud, but a couple of things just stand out to me. One is, give Olivier Giroud the chance that Flamini has just before half-time. He puts that in the back of the net, either with his left foot hooking it in because he's a centre-forward and knows how to do it, or with his head because he's a striker and he knows how to manipulate his body. Gives him a chance in the six-yard box, like one of the chances Arsenal take maybe later in the game, I think Giroud takes them. The second point is, Rob, if you want the pace on the team that I know you're saying that, that Campbell gives you and Walcott gives you, you still need somebody who can set that ball up, somebody who can get hold of it, lay it into Ozil so Ozil can set the runners off. If that's not the case, then Arsenal may as well start with Asafa Powell, Usain Bolt, and the next quickest man in world athletics, and just say we're just going to run teams. You can't just basically run past defenders if you haven't set the ball, if you've not created it. So that's the second mistake in the 5 minutes. And then the third comes on with the organisation between Gabriel and Koscielny. It allows Diego Costa a little bit of room that I'm talking about centre-forwards need. Centre-forwards nowhere to be in a six-yard box. Diego Costa gets the goal, and in the end was the difference in the game. If Mertesacker stays on, is it a different game? Yes. Do Arsenal win the game? I don't know. I thought it was a Chelsea team that were in the mood, that looked about... I know you said on the broadcast about the motivations for Chelsea. I think from now to the end of the season, their motivations, especially going to be the big games, to show people, you know what, we're not as bad as our league position. We're better players than this. We can come back. We can raise our levels and our performances. And I thought overall... they were worthy winners. And I know the 10 men changed it, but Cesc Fabregas was outstanding. I thought that the back four of Chelsea looked a little bit more solid. There was bodies being thrown in front of Courtois. Even though Arsenal had a goal late on, I just felt again, it was one of those occasions which is, we've seen in the past, Chelsea just feel they've got the number of Arsenal, and Arsenal came up a little bit short.
Just on that substitution, I think we agree with each other. I would prefer to, for Giroud, who I mean he's been an excellent goal scorer this year.
Giroud.
Yeah, but this situation, absolutely. I'm like, why is he bringing him off? I mean, what I would have done, and I'll get your quick take on it as well, I would have brought off Joel Campbell. I think you could have asked Ozil to play in a little bit of an in-between wide right coming inside. And that way, you have got your threatening three up front there with Theo Walker as well as Giroud, and Ozil's in the team as well, to give yourself the best chance of finding a way to win the game. So I think that's what I would have done. I think on the bigger picture, what I also said, Rob, and I want to get your take on it. I didn't see anything. Of course, it's a disappointment. I didn't see anything in the body language or the performance that makes me worried. I mean, I feel about Arsenal this season, and that it is going to be a close race between them and Manchester City.
Yeah.
But I think I didn't see anything that made me want to say to you, see what I mean? A difficult hurdle, and they bottle it, or they're not mentally up for the challenge. I thought they were at a good spirit and good character. I agree with your three moments. I think the Koscielny defending was poor. Costa gets in between defenders. Koscielny should take more responsibility for me. But just throwing it back to you, and you've said it all the time, and you would give me stick if one of my predictions was looking pear-shaped. In Arsenal we trust, you say it every single time on our radio show and on the podcast. Anything after this, another disappointment, another defeat, the third place in the table now after 23 games, you still trust him?
Yeah, I do. I'm a bit like you. Nothing that I saw today changed my mind that they can't win the title. It's a disappointing day. In some respects, Rob, I don't mind them not being top of the table for now, because I'm not sure their team in particularly like being hunted down. I think they're better when they maybe come from when the spotlight's off them. It's a challenge now in terms of making sure they're right for the next game and turning things around. Coming up, I think they're Southampton at home, the next match. So they have to get things right. They have to get 3 points in that game to keep the momentum and the belief in the group. But a couple of things I liked what I saw at the end. I saw Petr Cech pull up Koscielny. Koscielny was down on his hunches, almost like being defeated. Petr Cech grabbed him up as if to say, to win titles, you have to come over disappointment. To win titles, you're going to lose a couple of games on the running. But you get up, you walk off, you push your chest out, and you get ready for the next game. And there was I like that with Petr Cech. One of the things I've been saying about not only what he does in the goal, but what he brings to this, the mentality to this football club is important. And little things like that will be important. But no, in Arsenal we trust Robbie Musto, and we're going to see it out till the end.
Let's move it forward and to a team that we've talked about. And I really love them. And you know, they're going to do this, that and the other. They're title contenders and top four kind of certainties in your opinion. Leicester City 3, Stoke City.
Credit,
absolutely. I mean, listen, we've both given them credit, Rob. And we can go on and give them credit for their individuals they've got up front with Vardy and Mahrez. We've picked out players. Plays of Kante, what he's done in midfield. Danny Drinkwater scores in this goal. We've shown Huth's goal the other weekend. We've shown Morgan's performances. So it's not that we haven't given them credit.
Why? Because you've said all that, Robbie Musto. Why, with all that, is it grudgingly that you say, they're top four and they can't stay in there? You've talked about the spirit. You've talked about the quality. You've talked about the goal scorers. You've talked about the foot shoulders who do their job week in, week out. Yeah, every time we talk about them, and maybe this is the start of a new era. Every time we talk about them, you say, "But they can't last. But they'll drop off. But the performances can't keep going." Rob, with 23 games into the season, they've won 13 matches. They've lost 2 games all season.
Yeah, it's stunning.
Top of the table.
It's stunning. Manchester United.
They've got a chance at top four.
Oh, I've always said that. I've always said they've got a chance at top four. There's 10 points now to fifth place.
You not see them fitting in the top. You said eventually that they will drop out because they don't have the quality. And they won't get the goals to stay in the top four, I believe.
Yes. I've said that.
I did listen to last week's podcast, so I just got it right. And yeah, that's exactly what you said.
Yeah, I felt that the performance level to get to this point of all the team, but particularly those two front players that have been stunning in the first half of the season, will not continue for 38 games. That being said, and I stick with that, Manchester United that we'll go on and talk about a little later on, I mean, their performance level has got to a point where, wow, who else is going to challenge them for the top four? So
correct.
I'm not changing right now. It's still a long way to
now. You still don't think they'll be there?
I'm not changing my prediction of my top four just yet. I'm not going to knee-jerk it up like you do so many times.
stubborn musto.
No, but massive
not
credit. Again, massive credit.
Yeah.
And it's been
you
fun
know,
to I'll watch.
I massive credit as well, Robert, and I just want to talk about it. And you've talked about all those players who do so well for them.
Yeah.
Okazaki, Ujoa, both come in at times to partner Vardy. When Vardy has, you know, the goal to stop, they still find a way of getting them on the score sheet, Rob, of them doing the job, of them being important to the team. This team is as much about the unknown stars, the players who turn up and play for two or three games then go back to the bench, as it is about Vardy, as it is about Mahrez, it is about Schmeichel, the players who generally catch the headlines and we're talking about. It's all about the unsung heroes in this team as well. I think we've got to be stop being so disparaging to this group and say, you know what, they deserve to be top four and they've got a great chance now of having Champions League football at the King's Power.
And just to
bring on Barcelona and Real Madrid.
Hey, just to finish off, you know, I mean, in terms of the achievement, if they do it, I mean, I can't think of a more stunning performance over the course of a season in Premier League history. When you look at avoiding relegation, you look at champions, you look at teams finishing the top four. If Leicester City qualify for the UEFA Champions League, that will be the most stunning achievement over the course of a Premier League season ever.
Like Norwich time. Remember Norwich in Jeremy Gosson?
Oh, that's a long time ago. Yeah.
Long time ago.
Okay, another team towards the top, third place now in the league table, and my favourites to win the Barclays Premier League, Manchester City, and get a 2-2 draw against West Ham United. Difficult place to go, a strong environment, a West Ham team that are fired up at the moment. What did you think to this one?
Do you know what? It's a decent point for Manchester City going away at Upton Park. It's a good West Ham team, Rob. They're well set up. Dimitri Payet, they've got one of the stars of the season. They've got threats from Valencia and Kouyaté. They've got good energy. They've got a nice balance about them between the defensive setup and the attacking side. My issues going forward with Manchester City, and I want to throw this one back at you because you say now they're your title favourites. Is Yaya Touré becoming such a kind of, and I want to put inverted commas, problem to Pellegrini, where he's so big, he's earned so much money that he has to play in the team, but is he playing on the team on merit? Are you finding a spot for him? A little bit like Rooney's situation with Manchester United. Is this something that might hurt Pellegrini down the run by no Fernandinho at the weekend, no Fernando at the weekend, Rob? The guys who know how to put in and block those spaces that don't means you don't maybe concede that first goal that the last time score. Is your Touré a bit of a problem?
Yes, big problem. We've had this conversation before, Robbie, about where you play him. And recent performances haven't changed my opinion on that. There was two big mistakes for Man City in this game. Yaya Touré got destroyed by Kouyaté, who went past him for the first goal. Otamendi picking his nose, wiping his brow of sweat, whatever he was doing, caught out for the second goal. I'll tell you what you do with Yaya Touré. In certain games, you play him. In certain games, he comes off the bench for an impact. In certain games, he plays in the middle of midfield. You know, I wouldn't play him at West Ham United in the middle of midfield. In certain games, you play him in the hole. West Ham United away, I would play Yaya Touré in the hole. Number 10 position, you'd have two general midfield players playing behind. That's what I would do. I would pick and choose when you play this guy because he can't be trusted. And Pellegrini trusts him, loves him. And his production numbers over the last couple of years are going down and down and down. He's over 30s now. He looks like he can't run in certain parts of the game. I would manage his minutes, and I think that's the way to get the best out of him.
There's a lot being said about Arsenal and players they've missed in injuries, Rob. He's a key man at Manchester City. The name keeps coming up, Vincent Kompany at the back. Can they win this title with Di Michaelis, Otamendi and or Mangala, whichever one, you know, take two of three, whichever two you want. Can they win this title without Vincent Kompany? We know how important he's been when they've won titles in the past. He's such a big loss to him, Rob. If you look at the goals scored, goals against when Kompany's in the team compared to the goals when he's not, it's night and day in terms of his influence, his ability to maybe make the back four a little bit tighter, to get those midfield players sitting in front of you. Not just the way he plays, another guy with an influence, like I'm talking Petr Cech does at Arsenal. Can they go all the way with
you,
the back?
You have doubts, Rob. You have doubts, too many doubts. You have too many doubts. If you look at the raw... I just think you do. You look at the raw numbers now. City a second, Arsenal a third, OK? Same points, same wins, same draws, same losses. Man City have scored more goals, a lot more goals, and conceded one more. And we feel that Man City haven't played anywhere near their capacity, and Arsenal have been great. City are higher in the league in terms of goal difference. I think City will improve and get better. Arsenal, the jury's out right now. Which direction are they going? I mean, they've lost this last one. They drew the two before that. City are finding a little bit of form and some sharpness. I still think City are the team to beat this season, and Arsenal have got to find a way to go again, mate.
Yeah, well, interesting, Rob. That's what he's going to be. But I just feel with Arsenal's players coming back, Alexis Sanchez was back on the pitch for 25 minutes or so today. I think that's a boost. You know, they talk about Coughlin's ahead of schedule. That's a boost. Mm-hmm. I just think, you know, this company thing we're hearing, it's not going to be till late in the season. I mean, listen, this could be set up for a huge game. I think it's penultimate game, Arsenal-Manchester City at the end of the season. I mean, that could be a title decider. It could be a great game.
Another team that I'm going to poke you at, Earl. Are you starting to think now that Spurs are title contenders, by the way? 2 points behind Man City, two points
Robbie
behind Arsenal.
Go.
How can you not say that? How can you not say that?
Any Spurs fan, go out.
I don't care about Spurs fans.
Leave your ivory tower and go out in the street. Talk to the Spurs fans.
I don't care about what
they
think.
They will tell you. Because Spurs, a couple of weeks ago, Rob, we were almost saying, "Oh, Spurs are going to be Spurs and have a little rocky spot."
Who's saying that?
Spurs,
I said
will be top four guaranteed this season because of the consistency and because of the development. I still don't think Spurs are ready or quite right to win a title.
Yeah, but you've got to say they're contenders.
In that they went 1-0 down to a Crystal Palace team, an own goal. They have to come back. Harry Kane gets a goal. I thought the Dele Alli was a piece
brilliant.
Of brilliance by the young guy who's growing into one of the stars of the season. I mean, it was important that they're getting goals from other areas of the pitch. You talked about it last week about Eriksen and Dembele. This week it's Chadli and it's Alli getting goals. Important. You know, I lost Vertonghen just to an injury, Rob. That could be a little bit of a worry. I mean, Vertonghen and Alderweireld have been outstanding, played every minute of every game. He came off with a bit of a knee injury, I think it was. We don't know how that's going to be. Listen, I love what Pochettino's doing. I love where this team are developing. I love the development of the young players, of the interchange of quality they have. You know, the two in front, the three attacking midfield players. Harry Kane's growing into becoming one of the best centre-forwards in the league. But this team, for me, are still not ready to go and win a title.
How can you say that when the winner of this league is going to come from Man City or Arsenal, you believe, when Spurs are 2 points behind those two now, with so many games to go? 2 points behind. And you're saying they're not in the race to win the Premier League when they're 2 points behind, considering what they've done in the past, the consistency, the young players that will get better.
Correct. But we talked about squad depth. You know, Leicester haven't got squad depth. FA Cup, still in the FA Cup. Would have preferred them to go out, Rob, this year. I mean, the year where Spurs, I know they've got a lot of history with the FA Cup, would have preferred them to go out. Europa League kicks in towards the end of February. Going away on Thursdays, having to use certain players, then games on Sundays, Rob, not ideal. The more they're in other competitions, the more it might take away. Let's just say, Robbie Mustard, and I keep saying it, and I know I'll get locked up and put in the London dungeon. What if Harry Kane picks up an injury
that keeps him out
for 4 or 5 weeks?
You can say that for any player.
They've got to go and do the business. I tell you what, if they go and sign a centre forward in what's left of the window, I may come on next week's podcast and say, you know what, title contenders. I might just say that because the goal, if they can get me guaranteed goals from somewhere. But I'd hate for Harry to be running down the wing at White Hart Lane and the next week or two and him pull up and all that hamstring and it'd be a 3-4-5 week where it's just going to keep him out. And I know, I hope I don't get locked up for that. Prince Harry, you know I love you, but you cannot afford an injury.
I'll tell you, a team that are not title contenders, Manchester United. My goodness.
Louis Van Gaal. Disgust.
Well, as you know, I've been more patient, more understanding of situations in the past. I'm not saying he should be fired right now because of that, but I tell you what, this was poor. I mean, this is as bad as I've seen from United for a very long time. Before, Rob, I kind of get the possession, I get the territory, and I get they haven't been attacking very well, but you can see, well, the control's there. Defensively, they're not in trouble because they have possession. They just need some better attacking players. That's been my line. That's been my line. And I thought, when they bring a couple of stars in, that would improve. And then you're going to see a little bit more like a United that you'd expect. I got to say, the last few weeks, I know there's some big results there, but I haven't seen the control. This game was nothing going forward. I can give Van Gaal a bit of a break on some of the situations, the injuries and the huge amount of transition, the new players he had to bring in. I can't protect him on tactics. I can't protect him on picking a team that
would
play five at the back with nothing going forward at all. I thought this was as bad a game at Old Trafford that I've seen for a very long time. And just watching him quickly, Rob, afterwards with his press conference, he almost was saying, you know what, I can't really defend that. That was bad.
It's time, Robbie Musto. In the great line of pub landlord in England, when you're finished, it's time, gentlemen, please. You know, it's got to go. Rob, you look at this situation. I believe it was one shot on target again for Manchester United. Now, let's remember the win against Liverpool was one shot on target. That one goes in. If you're going into games having one shot on target, that's small margins, mate. If that one doesn't quite make it, if the goalkeeper falls off a worldie, you're kind of in trouble. And you say, this is Manchester United. Does Louis van Gaal sometimes understand what the criticism is about, is for? To go to five at the back at Southampton. And you know what hit me more than anything? I was watching the game yesterday. What totally hit me more than anything was that Southampton made a substitute and bought on Charlie Austin, right? Now, let's just say where Manchester United have been right now, and I go back to Fergie days, and when Manchester United weren't always Giggs, Beckham, Scholes, Cole and York. I remember Manchester United when they had Dion Dublin up front. He took a player and had him for a little while. He took Henrik Larsson on loan. Would there have been anything wrong in Manchester United, in their current predicament, going and spending £4 million, $6 million on Charlie Austin and saying, come and have half a season or 18 months. Charlie Austin will play, would be happy to play, would be happy to come off the bench.
Might have nicked
you six goals of muscle. And let me tell you the biggest thing with Charlie Austin. If he comes to Manchester United and gets you six or eight goals between now and the end of the season, you're selling for £10 million. You'll make money on Charlie Austin. Because at the moment, you're saying they're short of somebody in the box, short of somebody who can score goals. Yeah, we know Charlie Austin might not be your bona fide top-end Manchester United player. I totally get that. But I tell you what, put Charlie Austin on the pitch in the right position and get a couple of balls in the box, he'll put one in the back of the net, Rob. And maybe it's not Charlie Austin, but surely there must be some alternatives because Martial looks like it's starting to take a little bit of effect. They're putting too much store on this kid. Mm. Rooney, as we know, has still been up and down on his day. He can still have big moments. Memphis, we still can't get a tune out. Herrera in the shape that he can't affect the game. Fellaini is not a Manchester United quality player, Robin. Mm. You know, it's been 18 months now. I look at the two teams. I look at Tottenham, one of your title contenders. I look at Manchester United, who I think you believe still have got a chance for top four. Both managers been at both clubs for the same amount of time. Pochettino is way further down the road and has developed his group of players much better than Louis van Gaal has. Now, van Gaal can argue on Manchester United it's a bigger job and there's more pressure. He gets more money. He's got a better CV and that's why he was picked as Manchester United manager. The excuses are running out, Robin. I just got the sense yesterday was a turning point. I'm not sure that he'll want to stay beyond if he ends up till the end of the season. I'm not sure he's going to want to stay beyond it.
Yeah, I'm starting to get that thought as well. I mean, I just think it's now a matter of time. I'm not sure this is going to be recovery now. I think we're looking at a football club that when he goes, they're in a mess. They're absolutely in a mess. We need a whole podcast to talk about the structure of the club, the lack of director of football, etc., etc.
Stoke City at home next time. Up Stoke City at home.
Yeah, they've got to do something there. Okay, move on again. Everton, my goodness. I mean, there's so many stories from this weekend with Martinez kind of playing it all down. We're in control. Yeah. We got a great squad. We got great mentality. Afterwards, Robbie said that I can't fault the commitment, the effort for 95 minutes. Eh? Did he not see the first half? It was awful.
It's a bit Steve McLaren management,
yes,
isn't it?
Steve
I
McLaren,
can't ask any more from the lads than that. Robert, I wanted to put one back at you because I think we're both big admirers of Roberto, know him personally, professionally, what he's done as a manager, like the way he plays. Has he had a slightly fortuitous sort of response from people like us in that
you know, he plays football the right way. But if you go back to most of his teams, Rob, they've had this deficiency with the defending. I mean, he takes a Wigan team and wins the FA Cup, gets relegated and gets a job off his reputation playing the right kind of football. Is there a point where we have to look at Roberto Martinez 360 and say, there's a part that's missing that he needs to address? I look at this group of players, Ron Musto, yeah. They can be in the position they're in, mate. It can be 12th in the table.
Carl Martino said it in our broadcast that we all wanted to see Martinez with a good club, with a good group of players. He's got them. Yeah. People have said various, you read it, like this is the best Everton squad for 10, 20 years or whatever. He's struggling to get the best out of them, to motivate them. That's my issue. Second half was like a football game, a normal Goodison Park football game. Effort, crowd enjoying it, cheering, and they're playing with much more intensity. The first half was unacceptable. I don't know whether they've got their mind on the League Cup semi-final second leg against City on Wednesday, but that really, really wasn't good. And quickly on Swansea City, I mean, full marks. I mean, this Guidolin's probably thinking, well, what's the big deal? This is easy. I come to Swansea City. I watched the first game. I watched them win. I picked my first team. I think I made one change, same system, and they win a game against a decent Everton team. It's easy for Swansea City, isn't it?
Yeah, it looked good. And, you know, there was a huge contrast. And you're right about the Everton group. And people talk about, you know, God rest his soul, Howard Kendall, the old Everton manager, put together one of the great club teams. But people have made comparisons between Martinez and Kendall. The difference, they say, is Kendall addressed his defensive issues.
Yes.
He had good players in that team with Reed and with Sharp and Lineker for a time, and Stephen on the wing and Sheeding. Great players going forward. But he had Ratcliffe and he had Mountfield and he had defenders who wanted to defend and a goalkeeper Neville South who he could rely on. He got the balance right. And that's what you know, Martinez maybe needs to just go and look at a few of those old tapes and understand that defending, because I thought two contrasting defenders today, Rob. Ashley Williams, who is, I've been a little bit critical of over the past since Swansea had a poor run. Outstanding again today. Friendly, proper, did his job, no nonsense. I just look at John Stones a little bit, Rob, and there's little things that's cheap happening in this game, a little bit sloppy on one or two things. Yeah. I think you must just tell people he's a good footballer.
Yeah.
Defend first, show us you're a good defender. You're a young player with great potential. But, you know, don't get carried away. Don't start thinking all of a sudden the game becomes easy. This is a Barclays Premier League. You'll get if you overplay, if you take your time. You know, either get it back into the goalkeeper if you're putting it back to, as a back pass, or get it out of play. Don't want to be, you know, showing us how good you are and then put your team in trouble. So, got a big contrast between the two sets of players. And, what a start he's had.
Other weekend results. Swansea, Sunderland 1, Bournemouth 1. Mm-hmm. Watford beat Newcastle 2-1. Another bad result for Newcastle United. West Brom 0, Aston Villa 0. The other game that we haven't talked about yet, and the most entertaining game that we're going to finish the podcast today with, was it makes me laugh just thinking about it. Norwich City 4, Liverpool 5. I don't even know where to start. Jurgen Klopp is a ledge. He jumps around all over the place. He looks like he wants to bite the head off his players, and he's jumping around cuddling them. His glasses go flying. The team is wildly inconsistent. There's amazing stuff up front. There's crazy defending set pieces. I talk about the whole range of emotions. Where do you stand right now with Liverpool and Jurgen Klopp's development and with this team that I think in terms of points per game ratio is the same now as Brendan Rodgers? What's going on with them, mate?
Just a more exciting ride, Robbie Musto, but the same kind of Liverpool. I mean, this will go down as a Barclays Premier League classic. Mm. And I saw a great line. It's one of the best, worst matches you've ever seen. And it was like, no one could defend either side.
No
one was ever quite in control. You never kind of knew which way it's going. And there'll be two coaches who, listen, Klopp's all the stuff and you know, he's brilliant in the media and, you know, he couldn't find his glasses because he didn't have his glasses on and all those lines. But, Rob, there must be a worry. When you go to Norwich and concede four goals, this is a Norwich team who couldn't score against Bournemouth the week before. You can score four goals. Yes, you get five to win it, but come on, you know, this isn't what we're going to see from the sort of established Jurgen Klopp team. And it's just like, I think they're just going to have to pick points up as they go. I think Liverpool fans better strap themselves in. Mm. It's going to be one of those kind of rides. It's going to be conceded. I mean, scored 30 goals, conceded 32. Kind of tells me everything I need to know about Liverpool. they have got attacking threat. Firmino is looking better in that role, which I don't know where that leaves Benteke. That's a whole new podcast in itself. Mm. Can they get goals from the midfield players underneath? Defensively, Rob, they still low.
Shocking.
Moreno is just not good enough. I'm still not totally convinced with Nathaniel Clyne. Centre-back, they need to find one strong, aggressive centre-back who can be a leader back there. The keeper's just signed a 4 or 5 year deal. Not convinced in it, Robbie Musto.
Wow, yeah.
There's loads for Jurgen Klopp to do. But we're going to enjoy it, mate. We're going to enjoy it.
Yeah, there's talk of Alex Teixeira coming into the football club, an attack-minded midfield player, great eye for goals, scoring a lot of goals now for Shakhtar Donetsk and Ukraine. Yeah. I mean, I thought defensively, it's as worst as I've seen a long time for any Premier League team. Isn't that the position? You just gone through a little bit. I think central defender, whether it's the goalkeeper or not, I'm not quite so down on Mignolet. I think he does provide good saves as well. But I mean, I just think Klopp's got to rethink the whole club, the whole focus of what he should be working on right away to defence. To defence, because Brendan Rodgers had it. We thought it was through different reasons, open, expansive, and less focused on defending. Klopp is more focused on the press and all that, winning the ball back, which springs their attacks and goals opportunities. They've got to go back to basics defensively, because Moreno kicking out a player inside the box is awful, and the set-piece issue doesn't get any better. It's just a huge job that I'm sure he's going to get time and the patience of the Liverpool fans. He is a great hire, but it's a massive, massive job.
The thing for me, Rob, and if we're talking about, you know, Spurs developing, Leicester, let's say, you know, they're going to be this season, maybe the next season they might quite not be able to get to the heights. But Manchester United are going to be better. Man City could have a new manager, Pep Guardiola, possibly. Chelsea are going to be better. Mm. You know, Liverpool have to be careful that they don't get a little left behind. And as good as Klopp is, and as much entertainment as he brings, and as much media attention, they could be outside again this top four for another 3 or 4 years, because we're not talking about one or two players solving this problem. We're talking about every area of the pitch needing some kind of attention. Now, I know if you go and get 2 or 3 players at the back, that might give a different outlook to the front. But again, the balance of the team, how open they are, how easy they are to be penetrated is something that takes time. And it might be a year or two before we see the full fruit of Jurgen Klopp's work. And again, it might just be another frustrating time for Liverpool, and cups may end up being their best chance of silverware in the next couple of seasons.
Just our last comment. We can finish the pod a little bit on Norwich City. I think we both had Norwich City to be relegated. I like the sign of Stephen Naismith. I think we're seeing that the lower teams spend money in this January market to try and improve their firepower. Amazingly, they score 4 goals and lose the game. Anything changed in your opinion with these signings or recent performances to say that Norwich City have enough to stay up?
No, not for me, mate. I've said, for me, it's Aston Villa. I think one of Newcastle or Sunderland would go, and one of Norwich or Bournemouth. And I still think Bournemouth might have enough. I think Bobe has shown that he can get goals, and I think if there's enough feel-good factor about that football club, maybe they get Callum Wilson back. I think there's enough feel-good factor that they'll stay out of troubles. And I just think maybe Newcastle have got too much ability to go down. I worry a little bit for Norwich. No, I think, you know, they concede too many goals. Yes, they've got Naismith, who is a bit of a goal scorer, can ghost into position and get his chances, but don't think this squad's good enough. Don't think there's enough goals there. And I'll be very surprised if they're not one of the bottom three teams, unfortunately.
Robbie Earle, thanks, mate, as ever. Great chat, great conversation, great debate. And thanks for everybody for listening to the podcast. And thanks to our presenting sponsor, Land Rover. And remember, you can listen to the Two Robbies Football Show on NBC Sports Radio on Saturdays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Premier League weekends. Until the next time, we'll see you soon.
When we listen to the radio, we never agree on the station.
Classic rock.
Hip-hop. Pop.
Guys, quiet. The one thing we do agree on, we all want an awesome free phone. That's why we switched to MetroPCS.
Stop by MetroPCS with the whole family and get 4 free phones of your choice from brands you love, like Samsung, Motorola, and LG when you switch. MetroPCS. Wireless figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Free phone requires port. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed?
also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.